last word on business on Today FM.
With Capital Flow, purchasing, refinancing or refurbishing an investment property, visit capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider joins us for the Daily Business News. And something that Niall mentioned in the 5 of 5, are we getting back to pre-COVID levels of housing completions?
Yeah, good evening, Matt. And this is worthwhile pointing out because, of course, construction has been one of the sectors that was hit badly by the closures and lockdown last year and again this year. And, of course, the big fear was that residential house building would be the worst affected by it. And it had been. However, figures put out today by the Central Statistics Office show that between April, May and the end of June, there's been a 55% increase in the number of house dwelling completions. So between houses and apartments, we have seen 5,021 completions. There has been an increase, not just compared to last year when construction was closed for an early part of the second quarter, but compared to the second quarter of 2019. So pre-COVID levels, we're actually seeing an increase in the level of residential unit completions. Most of it is down to apartment buildings. It's been up by 155%. And let's be honest, Matt, they are going to go to the rental sector. But any increase in residential construction, you would say, is a good thing. So we are now at a level that is pre-COVID. You would hope that we would even now look at the fact that construction has been open now since, what, the early part of March. You would hope that the fact that we are now ahead of 2019, that we could actually get construction levels for the rest of this year above last year. Last year, we had just over 20,000 residential completions, nowhere near the level we need. But compared to the earlier forecast, and I've seen various different figures, Matt, from earlier on this year, either from the construction industry or from some of the economic commentators out there, that we might do 14, 15 or 16,000 completions this year. You would think if we can get 5,000 done when we're open, well, for the rest of this year, and assuming there's not going to be any massive weather issues towards the end of this year, perhaps we could do the same level as last year. And that would mean that at least you would be on track to get the numbers that we did in 2020. And that would at least alleviate some of the problems we have out there.
Now, the Financial Services Ombudsman's latest report was out today. It deals an awful lot with COVID-related complaints, particularly in relation to one area I want you to tell us about: business interruption cover insurance policies.
Yeah, 1,051 cases against financial services institutions taken by customers out there. Some of them would be banks, but an awful lot of them are against insurance companies. And 180 of those cases relate to business interruption cover. And the Financial Services Ombudsman gives a flavour of some of the disputes it's had between customers out there, financial institutions, and the organisations themselves. And one of them is worthwhile repeating, Matt. And this is a pub out there that had a claim for business interruption cover. It was in the company's policy that they would be paid out if there was an interruption due to a pandemic. They should have got €28,000. They eventually got that money, but the Financial Services Ombudsman also awarded that company €20,000 in compensation because the insurance company just simply delayed again paying out on it, even though in the policy it actually provided for business interruption cover. And the Financial Services Ombudsman saying that if you take the actual 180 cases, in 113 of those, there was actually a result in favour of the policy holder out there. Now, some of the money is quite small. In one case, it was just around €750. As I said, in that other case, there was an extra €20,000 paid over on top of what the person was entitled to. But it just shows you that even if the policy is in favour of the person out there, and there's an awful lot of other cases where there's an ambiguity, but where it goes, in fact, where you have this in your policy, companies out there, insurance companies out there, are still fighting day after day to say, no, we're not paying out, we're not paying out. And this is leading to an awful lot of stress for many businesses out there.
Okay.
And the thing to do, Matt, and again, if you are being fought by your insurer out there, go to either your Financial Services Ombudsman or go to the financial regulator and fight this claim.
Now, how much money do people spend gambling with the National Lottery every week, and what profits does the National Lottery make out of that?
Yeah, quite a lot of profit, actually. Matt, €14.6 million was the profit made by Premier Lotteries Ireland, which operates the national lottery, up from just under €9 million in the previous year. I have to say, Matt, given that for most of 2020 we were in lockdown and people had nothing else to do, I thought the actual sales would have been a lot stronger. They were only up by around 8% to €919 million. But the fact is, people are still playing the lottery. And the lottery company itself making, as I said, just under €15 million in profit a year. People, every week we created 33 millionaires last year with the lottery out there. So there has been record prize money paid out, according to the lottery company, and they're doing quite well themselves.
A lot of people, of course, were gambling on shares during lockdown, particularly using that Robinhood platform. It joined the stock market itself today on NASDAQ. How did that go?
Not too well. So Robinhood is a financial technology company. It's a trading app. So you can go on, you pay 0% commission, and you can trade shares and various other securities out there. We spoke about this back in January when everybody was piling into this company called GameStop, sending its shares up to an all-time high, even though the company's performance didn't really deserve it. And despite all of, and it is a millennial customer base out there, getting into trading using this app, despite the fact that they priced their shares at $38, at the lower end of the range, they were going to sell them to ordinary investors. They were shunning pension funds, investment funds, institutions. They wanted to democratize trading out there. Well, the share price is actually down just under 10% right now. $38 was the share price. It's now down just at just over $34 per share. I'm just wondering, Matt, are people thinking, well, hang on a minute, how can you offer us commission-free trading? Everybody else charges a fee to trade shares. How can you make money by charging us nothing?
Ian Guider, thank you very much for joining us. I see another story this afternoon that Ryanair is recruiting cabin crew for its Dublin base, which is encouraging that there will be more people taken on. That shows Ryanair sees a future for recovering market here in Ireland. And the airline is also apparently beginning to take delivery of up to 210 new Boeing 737-8200 MAX aircraft.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.